are going to be. We've been in a study on the fruit of the Spirit, and we are in the fifth piece of fruit in the basket, if I can say it like that. Amen? It's all one. Praise God through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week we learned and taught on patience. And my goodness. And we said, you know, we should pray for patience. People tell you don't pray for patience, but if you want the fruit of the Spirit to be active in your life, you want to be cultivated, you have to pray for patience. Amen. Hallelujah. And God sure allowed mine to be put to the test. I kid you not. In just like every day. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he's faithful. It's not me, right? It's not anything that we can do, right? Amen. But it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit's the one that possesses the fruit. We don't. We have nothing in us that can produce that fruit. Amen. But we can allow the Spirit of the Lord to, amen, to grow in us and to cultivate that. And that's what we've been doing, is trying to cultivate that fruit. Amen. And allow that to take place. So tonight, amen, we are, now the fruit of the Spirit, if you don't know that, it's in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Tonight, we are going to talk about kindness. Last week, you know, if patience is a tough fruit of the Spirit, then kindness is a tender one. Amen. So, you know, I firmly believe there's a reason why Paul put them in the order that he did. And we talked about that with the triplets in the beginning. Love, joy, peace, and joy and peace together, often seeing all of them together. Amen. But then, again, now we're going to go into kindness. Now, a lot of the King James translates that as gentleness. We'll talk a little more about all of those different translations. But again, if patience is a fruit of the Spirit, then kindness is certainly a tender one. So it's interesting, though, that Paul puts kindness right after patience. You know, I would think maybe, you know, kindness and then patience. Nope, he's got to stick kindness right after patience. Amen. And so it's interesting, though, and maybe because when I was thinking about it, maybe it's because that Paul saw both as essential qualities of love, which were the first fruit of the Spirit. So maybe he saw patience and kindness as qualities of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, love is patient and love is kind.
Right.
Okay, so, and you know, we said in the beginning, if you can allow the Lord to cultivate love in your life, then the rest of these come a little bit, even a bit smoother, if I can say it like that. I don't really want to say, you know, easier, because, again, sometimes depending on the situation, but maybe Paul saw that patience and kindness were both qualities of love, so maybe that's why he put them together. But when you love people, amen, you find it easier, at least it's a little bit less difficult to be patient with them. Okay, when you love people, when you truly love people, it's a little bit easier or a little less difficult, at least, to be patient with them. And being kind is one of the most noticeable characteristics of a genuinely loving person, okay? And if you know a person that just is a genuinely loving person, you know that kindness is really a characteristic of something that's really noticeable in a genuinely loving person. Now, I said it a few weeks ago, see, in the culture we're in, and I don't want to get off track, but, you know, kindness is not one of the Ten Commandments. He didn't say, be kind. Like he said, do not murder. He did not say, do not be unkind. Okay? And our culture, like we say, you know, our culture it takes that and they use it again as a weapon. You know, and we said, and even in the body of Christ, we've used the fruit of the Spirit as a weapon against each other, and that's not what God set it to be, okay? It should be, it's the characteristics of God through the Holy Spirit that then exhibits or is an example through us as we yield to the Holy Spirit in our lives. So, you know, it ought to be a witness and not a weapon, okay? And so the world, you know, on the other side, the world uses it against the body of Christ as a weapon, as if it is a law, but it is not a law. See, and the thing is that because none of the fruit of the Spirit come natural to us, we'll talk about that again. We'll talk about that with every piece of fruit that we talk about. But, you know, none of it comes natural. Nobody in here is naturally kind because we're all sinful. We're all born in the sin, in the flesh. And it's so much easier to be ugly. Okay? It's so much easier to be fleshly and to follow after that. So there is no law because, again, we talked about Jesus coming to fulfill the law and, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. And against none of those, there is no law against the fruit of the Spirit. That's one of the great things about that is that, you know, and what Paul, again, we told you Paul was trying to teach them in Galatians them about how they were making it a legalistic thing and how he was bringing division between the church. And he said it's not even a place to be divided. You're making a place that's not even there, a division. So there is no law to be kind because we can't do that. We can't fulfill that law. Jesus came and he died and fulfilled the law and sent the Holy Ghost so that we could walk in the Spirit and be kind as God is kind through the power of the Spirit, okay? Amen. So, you know, again, being kind is one of those noticeable characteristics of a genuinely loving person. So what is kindness? What is kindness? What kind of behavior do we have in mind when we say that someone's been kind to us or someone has been kind to others? That's what we want to look at, of course, through the eyes of Paul. And what Paul is trying to say here in the scriptures. And so I feel like that the essence of kindness is being thoughtful for others more than for myself in any particular situation. So to me, in a nutshell, kindness is when you're more thoughtful towards others than you are yourself in any particular situation. So if you're not kind, then you got to get over, or if you don't, allow kindness to exhibit or to be a witness and yield yourself to be cultivated in your life, then you're selfish. When a person is unkind, they're selfish because they're thinking about themselves more than others, okay? That's why Jesus said, love your neighbor, right, as yourself. So, you know, the essence of it is being thoughtful again for others more than yourself in any particular situation. So to be kind means to want to help others, to encourage or comfort them, to do something that serves or benefits them and not you. Okay, so to be kind again means to want to help others. Okay, so that means when we miss it, here, see, that's the key in the whole law thing, okay? Kind of want to help others, to want to encourage or comfort them, and to want to do something that serves or benefits them. So the want to makes a difference so that when you miss it or when you fail to be kind, there's grace for that. Does it make you an unkind person? Okay. That's the mess up that the world's trying to throw at us. Yeah. Use it as, well, you've got to be kind. Use it as a weapon. It's a law. Okay? Because some of them may be kind, but they can't be that way all the time if they're not filled with the Spirit because it's impossible.
Right.
You argue with me?
Yep.
Okay? And so even though they're kind, if they're not a follower of Jesus, it's at the end of the day, it doesn't hold a lot of value to it. So It's the want to that makes the difference. Okay, and we'll talk about, we get through this, all of this evening, you know, we'll talk about, you know, the difference in how to look at that. So in order to be kind to others, then you need to put yourself in their shoes and think what you would most want or need them to do for you. Okay, and then do that for them.
Right.
Okay, so it's put yourself in their shoes. Okay, and now understand that sometimes this is a quick thing. So right, that choice to be kind is not something you can sit at home and deliberate about and think, okay, well I'm gonna this, because sometimes, you know, in our walk it's a moment's notice that we have the opportunity to be kind. And so we have to have ourselves, once again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but this is why you have to keep your daily fellowship and relationship with the Lord fresh daily. Keep it consecrated, amen? Keep a secret place and keep that fellowship daily with Him so that you can be connected, because you go 4 or 5 days, trust me, instead of being comfortable, we kick somebody in the shin.
Mm-hmm.
instead of wanting to serve, wanting to do it, you're like, okay, maybe I'm the only one. I doubt it, but let's just, for the sake of making you feel better, right? Okay. But I'm telling you that if you do, kindness seems pretty close to what Jesus meant when He said, "Do unto others."
Uh-huh.
Do unto others as you would have them to do to you. Okay? This is really the essence of kindness. So kindness can be as simple as a pleasant word or a caring smile or acknowledging someone's presence.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledging their right to be in the same atmosphere as you.
Yep.
Have you ever been in somebody's presence and you feel like you're breathing the same air they are?
Yep.
Like anyone for you to be existing. And you don't even have to know them. There's people. So kindness can be just that simple. Okay? It doesn't have to be this great big deed or giving this great amount or doing or sacrificing a lot of time or being there. It is just literally acknowledging that. But sometimes people can feel non-existent. People can be, I've been there, be in a crowd of people and feel like you do not exist, okay? And the enemy, especially in this time that we're living, in the atmosphere, the warfare that is out in the atmosphere, okay? There's a lot that is there and in the mind. And so a lot of people can feel like they don't matter. And someone could have just told them, you know what, I wish you were dead. Or I wish I had never knew you. And your acknowledgement of that, or you taking 30 seconds to be kind, can make the difference. Okay? It doesn't have to be, again, some great big deed. So, you know, but more importantly, I think being kind means being willing to do something. Again, there's the word willing, okay? I'm just going to write that. So you know, the want to, and then the willingness. And that's the key. That's where you have to know that God knows your heart.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit knows your heart.
Thank God.
And people are going to judge you, but you know where your heart is. And at the end of the day, if the want to and the willingness is there, you've crossed a big hill. You've overcome a lot, because there's a lot of people that don't have that.
Right.
Okay? There's a lot of people that are being kind for the sake of being kind, and that's what I mean. It's not one of the Ten Commandments. They're being kind for the sake of being kind, for the sake of appearance, but their heart is not pure before God.
Right.
And that's what's going to make the difference. Okay?
Right.
That's what's going to have the eternal effect.
Yeah.
And not just that momentary. Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to rattle, but there's a lot. I'm telling you, I got convicted over and over and over again. as I was going through this and these notes and stuff. And I'm thankful.
Yeah.
I'm thankful.
Yeah.
And we're all in this thing together, right? And we're all there, amen. Trying to get to the same place by the same means, right? At the same time. Okay. That should be where we're at. That is where the church should be as a body. It doesn't matter what the name is over the door or anything like that. So anyway, being willing to do something or to take some action that helps somebody, even if it might be inconvenient to you.
Right.
There's the snagger right there. Okay? Even if it might be inconvenient. When others are willing to use their precious time to help me out, you out, someone out of some kind of difficult or confusing situation, they're being kind. That's kindness when they're willing, because time's precious.
Yep.
I didn't say that to be cynical. That's reality. Time is precious. Okay? We should value time in the way that God gives us. That's why the Bible tells us to redeem it, to buy it back. And use it for as much as we can for the kingdom. So kindness goes beyond duty, doing something you don't have to, but something you choose to. Mm-hmm. Kindness is a choice. We talked about it. When love is a choice. You can choose to love. You can choose not to love. That's why when you fall out of love, you can fall back in love if that's the choice that you make. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And so kindness is a choice as well. It goes beyond the reward. A lot of people are kind for the sake of appearance.
Right.
A lot of people are kind for the sake of getting something back in return.
That's right.
Okay? Being kind, it goes beyond the reward. Okay? Doing something that you won't get paid to do or that you won't benefit from. Okay? Think about it. All right? Real kindness usually costs something, right?
Yeah.
Real kindness usually costs something, but it does not have any expectation of a reward or recompense. Now, that's the good thing about covenant. That's the good thing about being in covenant with God, because the difference in the world when they're kind, you know, you sow and then be given back to you, I get all that. But that's the thing, is that when we do our deeds and we honor God, He will give us back. We will get in return. It may not be from that person or from that particular thing, but we will get in return. So you do what is kind for its own sake and for the sake of the other person, right? In that sense, kindness is its own reward. The very essence of kindness should be enough reward,
right, right,
for the child of God.
Amen.
That should be enough reward. Okay? And I understand that we're probably not all there. We're probably not all at that place. Okay? Again, it is our human nature to want to get back, to feel like we deserve something in return. That's our sinful human nature.
Yes.
Okay? That's the selfish part of us. And you don't have to. You don't have to do anything but wake up in the morning and be a human for that to come natural. The only way that that gets suppressed, okay, and that gets squashed is walking in the Spirit.
Right.
And allowing the Holy Ghost to sanctify you and to crucify this flesh. That's why Paul said, okay? So, in the Bible, kindness is often linked to generosity, all right? And the word that Paul uses really often had that sense. When Paul used the word kindness or gentleness, it often had the sense of generosity, of being generous. So, it could often mean generously providing for another person's benefit. That's biblical kindness. Okay? Providing something for another person's benefit. That would be considered biblical kindness. So, you know, how often do we say, you know, when someone does something for us, we say, well, thank you, you're very kind. Mm-hmm. Right? You're a very kind person. kind deeds are done by people who are themselves by nature and character kind, okay? Those things come natural. And guess what? We can get to the place where kindness does become natural and part of our character, okay? And we'll talk about that as we go. That leads us to the character of God that is revealed in the Bible, okay? Again, we've already said that all of the fruit of the Spirit, right? All nine aspects of the fruit of the Spirit are the characteristics of God.
Right.
That's who God is. And the Holy Spirit imitates, okay, and possesses those very qualities or characteristics. And so if that's the case, then it's important for us with each piece of fruit to look at God's character and look at how God is revealed in the Bible as kind. So, you know, as with other fruit of the Spirit, we talked about this last week with patience especially, but we may not quickly associate kindness with the God of the Old Testament, right? Because everybody thinks the God of the Old Testament was right, angry and stern and, you know, everybody's out. That's the perception. But we talked last week and shown through Scripture that that's really not the case. God is patient. He's long-suffering. He gives chance after chance after chance after chance. Okay? Especially where repentance is available. Where repentance is involved, God gives chance after chance after chance. Okay? When he finally puts down the gavel, you can rest assured that it's for the sake of those who have been faithful.
Right.
Okay? When God finally says, all right, this is it, judgment's coming, it's because those who have endured cannot endure anymore. Are you with me? That God says, that's enough for my people. That's where we're at today. That's exactly what's in line for today. So God was not this immediate, gruff, mean, you know, again, that's what the world tries to portray. That's why they say, oh, we don't need the Old Testament. If you don't have the Old Testament, you don't have the foundation.
Right.
Right? It's the whole word.
That's right.
So, you know, we quickly, it's hard, we don't really think about God in the Old Testament being kind, but it's really a very strong element of his character, and that it's actually celebrated in the Old Testament when you look at these things. So let's look at kindness and the character of God. God is praised for his kindness in the Old Testament. He's praised for it. And if you look at it, it's often, now the Hebrew word for kindness is chesed. I'm trying to write better. If I write slower, it's more legible. So when I start writing, and I write small, so I try to write big up here to, you know, Lynn would take up this whole board with her name. And I'm all right over here. So yes, the difference in that. So chesed is the Hebrew word for kindness, okay? And it literally, that's literally what it means, is kindness in the essence. And we'll talk again. Well, of course, we'll talk as we move forward. Of course, you know, in the Hebrew language, there's not just one, right? There's not just one definition or not just one meaning. So it's really rich in its meaning, though. That word chesed is really rich in its meaning, and it's often translated as love. So in the Hebrew, when you see the Hebrew scriptures, chesed isn't always just translated as kindness. It is often translated as love, with the emphasis on the faithfulness that is the essential element of genuine love. Does that make sense? So, you know, again, kindness is the essence of real love. So when chesed is emphasizing on the faithfulness is an essential part of genuine love, okay? Sometimes it's translated as faithful love. So chesed can not only be translated as kindness or love, but sometimes it's translated as faithful love. Sometimes chesed is translated as loyalty. I told you, it depends with the Hebrew, there's not just one. Okay, there's always all of these layers. And so, with the concept of loyalty, when one person acts out of a strong sense of commitment to another person because of a relationship between them. Okay, so you're loyal to someone, that chesed. So even though it's not in the essence kindness, loyalty exhibits the kindness that has developed because of your commitment to someone in a relationship. Does that make sense? So it's not necessarily, kindness as we think of maybe doing something for them because you something you would want them to do for you. But again, you're loyal to them and you don't even have to think about that. Okay? That's how we should be with our covenant partners, our spouses. Okay? We should have that kind of chesed. So when God acts with chesed, it can mean that he exercises mercy. Okay? It means that he can exercise mercy towards people who are in a vulnerable or a needy situation. So it's really close to compassion, which is another element of chesed. So we've talked about kindness now. We've talked about it being love, faithful love, loyalty, and now a level of compassion. So when God acts in kindness, when God acts in gentleness or chesed, I'm probably going to use chesed a lot tonight, probably more than I do any of the others, the Hebrew word. But it's God having mercy upon someone who's vulnerable or somebody that is in a needy situation. So again, that leans more towards compassion, which is chesed, is also translated in the Old Testament as compassion. Now you can see why they celebrate it. Now you can see why this is God. We're talking about God. Okay, we're talking about the character of God and his kindness. This is God's kindness exhibited. So older ways of translating, and some of you that have been, you've read the Word of God, have been in church for a long time, especially the King James, the older ways of translating chesed is loving kindness. Right? You ever heard that? You usually see it in the King James as one word. It's really not, in the English language, it's not one word. That would be a hyphenated word in the English language, but you will often see loving kindness. One of my favorite older worship songs that came out, gosh, I think in the 90s, was that song, "The Lord's Loving Kindnesses Indeed Will Never Cease. His mercies and his compassions." And so you'll often see, especially in the King James, you'll see loving kindness. That is often chesed, okay? So again, think about a faithful love. Think about love. Think about loyalty. Think about all those things, compassion, when you talk about the Lord's loving kindnesses. See, that's really English, that's not legit in English. But you see that in the Scripture, his loving kindnesses are many, okay? Because all of those things wrapped up in chesed. What a rich word, right? What a word that's full of so much power and, faithfulness there in that. So simply, often as it's translated kindness, since it does have that active sense of doing something that shows thoughtful love in action. So kindness is love in action. So if you do it and you don't have love, genuine love for the person, it's in vain, which is what I'm talking about. It's what happens in the world.
Yeah.
Okay? There's a lot of social media kindness.
That's right.
Lots of social media love.
Yes.
But the heart is full of dead man bones. Okay? Honestly. And so that's why the world throwing that, using it as a weapon, don't be intimidated by that. It's important that you understand, okay? Again, that it's not, it's love in action, okay? God's love in action, genuine love. God's love does not tolerate sin.
Right.
The love of God, thank God it doesn't tolerate sin. Because why would we even be here tonight? We wouldn't have need to be here tonight. If his love tolerated sin, then it defeats the whole purpose of Jesus coming and dying for our redemption. Okay? I'm glad he doesn't tolerate sin. Okay? So his love says you don't have to be in that sin because it's going to kill you. It's destroying you. It's taking you to an eternal place of doom. Okay? With all of the things in it. So when God acts in chesed, it means he's being faithful to his covenant promises. He's paying careful attention to our needs, okay? Acting in generous and merciful love, generously providing everything for our blessing and our benefit. I say it often, you probably heard me. He always has our best interest in mind. It may not feel good. We may not like the way it tastes. We may not like the way it smells. We may not like the way it feels. But when it's all finished, it's for our best interest. So when he pulls us away from something or someone, when he separates us from something or someone, when he denies us something or someone, it's for our best interest. That's his chesed. That's his loving kindness. That's his mercy. That's his patience, his long suffering. And even when we jump into it, when it's not supposed to be, he's like, okay, I'll be waiting for you to come back. I'm just waiting for you to get it. He'll never say, I told you so. But you see what I mean? And so, you know, his it's for our blessing and our benefit. That's why he said, surely goodness and mercy, which is translated chesed, shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the household of God forever. That didn't mean the church building. That means the family of God. Surely goodness and chesed shall follow me all the days of my life. I've never been so thankful for that as I have in the last 7 days. Hallelujah. Seriously. Because when I miss it, it's chasing me. When I miss it, it's following after me. It's right there at my dispense. Okay, grace. And so it shall follow me all the days of my life. And if you don't know, that's Psalm 23 and 6. So that this is David here talking. And David seeing God here as a shepherd who treats his sheep with kindness, protecting and providing for them. Hallelujah. He's a good shepherd. Amen? And a shepherd is committed to caring for his sheep, even at his own cost. He's committed to caring for his sheep, even at his own cost. God will keep his commitment, right?
Yeah.
God will keep his commitment to his flock because he himself is the essence of goodness and kindness. He will keep his commitment because he himself is chesed.
Amen.
He is goodness. He is kindness, okay? He is there. He will, as a lamb led to the slaughter, that he's the shepherd that will lay down his life for the sheep. He's committed to caring for the sheep, even at his own cost, okay? The most repetitive use of chesed, of this word, is in Psalm 136, where each line, you know, those of you that have been to a Passover Seder, we read Psalm 136, and we read this together, and this should be familiar to you, but the most repetitive use of the word chesed is in Psalm 136, where each line of the verse in those scriptures ends with, his mercy endures forever. It's his chesed. Endures forever. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Okay, his chesed endures forever. That psalm celebrates how God, in his works of creation and his redemption has always acted with trustworthy love. Can I tell you, you can trust the love of God?
Amen.
God's love is trustworthy. And until you understand that, you're never going to trust anyone else's love.
That's right.
Okay? Until you understand that the love of God, that redemptive love, is trustworthy. Okay? Even, now listen, Psalm 136 is telling us something. His mercy endures forever. It celebrates how that God works in his works of creation, and his redemption has always acted in trustworthy love, even when his redemptive work included judgment on those who opposed him. It was still chesed. It was still mercy. It was still long-suffering and kindness, okay? Let's look at Psalm 145 and verse 17. Excuse me. And the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. That word holy there in this scripture is translated chesed. So the Lord is righteous in all his ways, and his kindness, or his chesed, is in all of his works.
Yes.
So in everything that he does, he sees the bigger picture.
Right.
And it's always in kindness or gentleness. Okay? Loving kindness. Loyalty. You get all those things, put them all in there. That's what God is. But so in all his works is literally in all he does, or toward all that he has made. So he is chesed in all that he does, or toward all that he has made. Okay? So in all his works, from the beginning of time of creation, God has been chesed. He has been holy, okay? And because he's holy, he has to do what he's promised he would do, because he is a kind and loving father. Okay, really? He is part of that, okay? That comes with that. So we can see in the Old Testament how Israel really celebrates God's kindness. Let's look at Isaiah 63 and 7. Just one instance there. Did I do that? Isaiah 63, here we go. I will mention, here we go, see that? The loving kindnesses of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his chesed, or his loving kindnesses. That's God.
Amen.
That's the God of the Old Testament. That's the God of Israel. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the God that the world hates. That's the God that we celebrate.
Right.
And that we worship, and that we magnify and lift up. And so that's why when Paul was telling, and he wanted to tell the people in the scripture, in the book, in Acts chapter 14, Paul is talking to the people of Lystra, and he's telling them what the one true God is like. And he focused on the kindness of God. Let's look at Acts 14 and 7. And there, wait a minute, I'm not right. Maybe it's 17. Sorry, that's my mess up. Anyhow, he focused on the kindness of God. I don't know if that's verse, it might be verse 17. Nope, it's not. So that's. Oh, that's Acts
17. That's
17. I mean, Acts 14. 14 and 7.
Yeah, that's what it was. 14,
17. Oh, he's 17.
Try 6 and 8.
Try, let's move on. Okay? Anyway, Paul again. And we see, again, Paul explaining when Paul is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Paul is talking about chesed. So what was different about the God that Paul was talking about versus the one that they worship, all of the different gods that they worship, is that Paul was trying to show them that God shows his character in what he does. Not in who he is, but what he does.
Amen.
Are you with me? So that's what Paul was trying to get them, that that's what was different about all the other gods. The God we worship is the only one that has sent his son to die for us. Okay? He shows his character in what he does, even in his generosity toward all human beings. Just human beings in general, not just his covenant people. Okay? He shows who he is by what he does. Okay? So Paul was grieved. That's why Paul, you see in the scripture, that Paul was grieved that as fallen sinners, we so easily reject the chesed of God. We reject the kindness of God. And even though it's available to whosoever will, we so often reject it. When we frustrate his grace, we're rejecting his kindness.
Right.
Doesn't mean that we're doing it maliciously or intentionally, but understand that that's what's happening, okay? And that's why the enemy wants you again to get in those places where you don't feel like you're deserving of his kesed. When you don't receive it, and when you don't receive it, you reject it.
Right. All right.
Okay, and when you reject it, you frustrate the grace of God. Mm-hmm. You tie his hands. You bind up the freedom that God has in your life. Wow. Okay, and that's Jesus died so that we could have that.
Wow.
We fail to understand that God's patient kindness is what? It's meant to lead us toward repentance and salvation, not to feel good.
Right.
Not to be good people. Again, the difference in that, okay, Romans 2 and 4. Let's look at that. Hopefully I got that one right. Is that there?
Oh, sorry.
Or despises that goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. Okay? So the very essence, the very goodness of God, that long-suffering, right, that goodness, that forbearance, all of that leads to salvation, right, and repentance. The supreme example of the kindness of God was the gift of his son.
Mm-hmm.
That's the supreme example of kindness. Let's look at Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. But as the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the supreme example of the kindness of God. You can't get any more chesed than that.
Right.
That he was willing to sacrifice it all,
right,
and send him so that we could experience this.
Right.
So that,
amen,
we can be a witness of this to the world that's hurting.
Amen.
That is confused and that doesn't understand or doesn't realize. Okay? So that's kind of the kindness and the character of God. Now let's look at kindness as a quality of those who worship God. Okay? A quality of those who worship God. Now, since we know what God is like, then those who say they know God and worship him must show the same character.
Right.
Here we go. Buckle up, buttercup. Okay? We discovered it's easy to cheer on who God is.
Right.
Right? And accept that it's true because it is. At the end of the day, we know that it's true. But if we know that what he's like, and we are accountable to this, okay, we're followers of him, then we've got to show the same character. And we see several examples of that in the Old Testament of people who showed extraordinary kindness and it reflected the kindness of God. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to reflect the kindness of God. I want the world to look at me and see him.
Amen.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
That's really truly my heart's desire. Now, do they always see him? Because they've gotten Jeff before. And not God. Right? Just being honest. But one of the most common, I think, examples of that we see kesed is the story of Ruth and Boaz. Okay? Really, That's there's double coming, and Boaz is kindness for Ruth and Naomi. Okay, so it's really it's a triple when you put God's kindness there and showing it toward all of mankind. But we'll leave that. Because see, Naomi prayed for God to have mercy. She prayed for God's kindness to be shown to who? Her Moabite daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, right? Remember, Naomi and Elimelech left and moved and went to Moab because of the famine, and they took their two sons, and their names fleet me for now, but I know their names meant puny, and so did Elimelech. Okay, so Ruth or Naomi lost her sons and her husband, and now they had married. In the meantime, her sons had married two Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. Okay, and so now the famine is over, and she's wanting to go back to the house of bread, go back to where she came from, and so now she's praying for God's kindness towards Ruth and Orpah. And Ruth, remember when Naomi was getting ready to depart, she told Ruth and Orpah, she said, "You can stay. I'm going to go." But you see, Ruth showed kindness to Naomi by refusing to go back to Moab. She refused to let Naomi return to Bethlehem by herself. So she now is showing chesed, or kindness, to Naomi. She said, "Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." Listen, this is a big thing that Ruth is doing. She is a Moabite. She is a pagan worshiper. She is not the worshiper. She was not born into church. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? She was born into heathenism, into paganism, to where all of those other gods, like I said, that Paul was trying to show the difference. But she said, "Your God will be my God." She said, "Where you die, I'll die there, and I will be buried there." Okay? She was showing Naomi kindness. Now we see that Boaz, who is related to Naomi, who is a family member, finds Ruth gleaning in his field, and he commends her for all that she's done for Naomi. He commends Ruth for all that she has done. Gleaning in the corner of the field is for the poor people. That's what you get the leftovers. They were allowed to glean what was left of the harvest. So she was gleaning full of it. That's why Boaz said, "Drop handfuls on purpose." Okay? Drop those handfuls on purpose so that she can get a greater blessing. But anyhow, Ruth expresses relief here and gratitude for Boaz's kindness. All right, Boaz is now being kind to Ruth. And Naomi said of Boaz, she said, "He has never stopped showing his chesed, never stopped showing it to the living and the dead," meaning her husband and her sons. She said, "He is our kinsman redeemer." He's redeeming us. We know that this is a parallel to Jesus, who is our kinsman redeemer. Okay, but she said, "He has never failed to show his chesed, his kindness to the living and the dead." So he is now our kinsman and our redeemer. So Naomi has Ruth lie beside Boaz while he's sleeping. I'm condensing the story, right? She goes and lays beside him while he is sleeping. Boaz wakes up kind of startled because there's a woman laying next to him. Okay, and it's Ruth. But he wakes up startled, but Ruth does something. She asks Boaz to marry her.
Go ahead, girl.
The Bible tells us in the King James that she took his blanket and she covered herself with his blanket. She was saying, "I want you to be my husband and I want to be your wife." Think of that, fellas. Not a date. They don't want to be your wife, right? Is that so? So we see chesed again. We see the kindness of Boaz again. Okay. Now, how was Ruth acting in a way that was kind to Boaz? Ruth was showing kindness or chesed to Boaz. You're like, what? Ruth laid down beside him and pulled his cover over her and said, I want to marry him. Now, she wasn't being sexual or anything like that. It was a, that was a sign. That was a proposal, if you can say it, if I can say it like that. Okay? But she, the Bible says that she was showing him kindness. How, in what way was she being kind to Boaz? Well, first of all, the fact that she chose him to ask him to marry her because the dude was old enough to be her dad. Okay? And she was young. And so the very fact that, you know, she asked him to marry her when she could have asked a man her own age, that was kind.
Kind of crazy.
Really? But truthfully, Boaz knew in her asking him to marry her as a kinsman redeemer that what she was really doing was she was giving herself to him because he was Naomi's kinsman redeemer. And she was showing her kindness to Naomi, husband Elimelech, by saying, I will give myself to this man. Why? So that she could birth a son. Because a son that would be birthed from Leesman Redeemer would now be able to carry on the name and the property of Elimelech. So Naomi's husband will never die.
Aw, that's nice.
See what I'm saying? Yeah. So she was really showing chesed to Boaz in that way that she was saying, I'm willing. She done pulled herself out of her country, lost her husband, said, I'll give up my worship, I'll give up my religion, I'll give up my family, I'll give up everything that I've ever known, and I will go where you go. Mm-hmm. And the only way that she could give Naomi back what she lost was to marry Boaz, an old man. Think of that. I don't think we really think about it, but the Bible tells us that she showed kindness and that chesed. So, and of course, we know what came out of that. You know, Ruth and Boaz had Obed. Obed had Jesse. Jesse had David. And here comes the Messiah.
Right.
Jesus came out of the bloodline. Aren't you thankful for our kinsman redeemer?
Amen.
And that God will patiently, even when we make wrong choices. They should have never left that land.
Right.
But even when we make wrong choices, if we give ourselves to God and we yield ourselves and we surrender, His chesed will reward us.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And out of that comes salvation, deliverance, covenant, hope, where it'll never die. Right? So Naomi now has, in the essence, got her husband and her son back. Because now this is not just, this is really kind of her grandson, if we can say it like that. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So so God gave her back. So that explains Boaz's willingness to take her as his wife and say, look, get out of my bed. That explains his willingness, right? Because then they're like,
give my blanket back.
What if somebody sees you under my blanket? They're going to assume, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, really, it's funny, but think about it. It's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
It really is. It has a really deep, rich meaning. But this is why his willingness to take her, we see this in Ruth chapter 4, as his wife, is seen as a very righteous and a kind action that he's praised. Ruth chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Praises Boaz for what he did. Okay? Because he was the kinsman redeemer. So, you know, Ruth's action in asking Boaz to marry her was an act of kindness to Naomi and Elimelech. So all of this now is coming back. And so Boaz agreeing to do this was his act of kindness to Naomi and Elimelech as well. So they were both sacrificing some things. They were both giving up some things for the benefit of someone else. And there was not a lot of reward in it for that. But look what God brought out of it. The bloodline that he brought out of that. Amen? Isn't that awesome? So, so they both went beyond the normal or the expected in their respective cultures. Both of them went outside. Boaz did not have to do that. There was no law that said you must do this. It was only because of his chesed, his kindness. Okay? And certainly, Ruth's culture didn't allow it, let alone command it to be done. So they both stepped outside of that. Okay? And they took some really considerable risks. And they did so to show chesed or kindness, okay, in a really dire situation, just like God would. So they showed that example of godly chesed. Now, another really familiar is with David. Most everybody knows who David is, okay? David is the author of most of the Psalms, and he was king over Israel. But David had a friendship in between him and Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of King Saul, okay? That's really well known in the Bible. But David and Jonathan had this relationship, okay? They both knew that Saul was determined to kill David if he could. Both of them knew. Jonathan was Saul's son, okay? And both he and David knew that his dad was going to kill him if he got the chance to do it. They also knew, though, that David had been anointed to eventually take Saul's place as king of Israel.
Right.
Man, that'll preach for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So no matter what you know the enemy's trying to do, if you understand God's hand on your life,
right,
it don't matter what the enemy tries to do.
Well,
you don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. You don't have to hide, okay? So Jonathan asked David for a lifelong loyalty to him and his family. Matter of fact, he said, "Will you swear that no matter what happens, you will be loyal to me and my family?" Okay, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 14 through 17. "Thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness or the chesed of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, everyone from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies." And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Okay? They were knit together, the Bible says. Now, the world tries to make that as a homosexual relationship. But it wasn't. Okay? No, if you read the translation and stuff, again, you see it. So that kindness is the word chesed in there. Okay? And we know that David later became king when Saul and Jonathan both died in battle. But David remembered his covenant with Jonathan.
Right.
Okay? He remembered. And he asked Saul's servant Ziba. He said to him, he said, "Is there anybody left in the household of Saul that I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?"
Yeah.
Okay, this is the key now. For Jonathan's sake. Okay, so we know that the story of Mephibosheth, who was the wounded son, right, who was crippled, that was being hid because he was escaping and the nurse fell on him and he was didn't feel worthy to come to the king's table, but David brought him to the table and said, "You always have a place at my table." And Mephibosheth was lame, but he had a place at the king's table because under the table you couldn't see the lameness and the legs. Amen. All of that was hidden. What mattered was what was on the table. Okay. And so we see that chesed of David, right? So the Old Testament taught us that chesed or kindness was a part of the character of the God of Israel. And so it should be part of the character of his people.
Amen.
That's my point, okay? Faithful love and kindness is what God wants to see exercised on earth. All right? Through his people. Matter of fact, he delights in it. Let's look at Jeremiah 9, 23, verses 23 and 24. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory," that's a mouthful in it, in this, but he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness.
Amen.
I want you to see that. I want that to stand out. He exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? Let's look at Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, which is translated as chesed. To love chesed, and to walk humbly with thy God. Zechariah 7 and 9. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show, once again, chesed, and compassion every man to his brother. No exception. Every man to his brother. Okay? So, again, mercy is chesed. Once again, you're seeing some different things. Solomon takes a little bit further than just a simple command. Because we can look at him and say, oh, yeah, God commands us to show chesed, to have mercy, and to be kind. But he shows that where we do actions that are kind, we not only imitate God, but we do the thing to God. So we not only imitate who God is, but when we do it to God. Okay? We're going a little bit further now. Okay? So now, chesed, I'm about to give some scriptures and some texts. Chesed doesn't appear in all of these texts that I'm about to look at, but remember the word for compassion, okay, is similar to chesed. It's one of the translations of chesed. But the sense of kindness to others, especially the needy, is clear in Solomon's writings here in the book of Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs 11 and 17. The merciful man doth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubles his own flesh. Proverbs 14, 21. He that despises his neighbor sins, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Let's look at 14, verse 31. He that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. That's why our government's in the hands of God, not us.
Come on.
God's got everything, okay? But he that honors him has mercy on the poor. Finally, Proverbs 19, verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Okay? So, again, understanding that Solomon takes it further than just a simple command, that we're not only imitating God, but we do the thing to God. So now, we've looked at God, we've looked at the kindness as the character of those who worship God. Now let's look at kindness in the example of Jesus. I'm hoping to get through all of this tonight. So if kindness is essentially loving others enough to put their needs before your own, then Jesus was literally kindness with two legs. Right? He was kindness incarnate. If kindness is essentially loving others enough to put their needs before yours, Jesus was just kindness with two legs. Period. He was kindness incarnate, right? Jesus was often interrupted when he was doing stuff, right?
Yeah.
He was often interrupted when he was on a journey or when he was visiting someone or when he was eating. Jesus was often interrupted, okay? But he never responded to those interruptions with irritation and dismissal. Help us, Jesus.
Right.
But he did so with kindness and warmth, okay? That's not just a fuzzy story. That's reality. Okay? He didn't respond in that way. He often did these things, and this was often to the people that were typically rejected and shunned by society. Keep this in mind. Those that he showed that kindness to were often the ones that everybody else shoved aside. Okay? The woman with the issue of blood. Blind Bartimaeus, the Syrophoenician woman who refused to give up, said, I'll just eat the crumbs, okay? She refused to give up. The woman with the alabaster box, right? Society had rejected all of these, okay? They'd been shunned. But even when Jesus was on the cross, what was he thinking about? The needs of his mother. When he was hanging on the cross, he said, make sure you take care of her. Make sure that her needs are met. Right? When he was in the worst agony in history, the kindness, the chesed of God was exhibited there. And this wasn't because Jesus was just a nice man.
Right.
Okay? There's nice people. Again. But it wasn't just because he was a nice man. Because we know that he could use some really strong words of rebuke against religious leaders and hypocrites. And they would not consider him a nice man. Right? Okay? So, but to the poor, to the sick, to those who were marginalized, the people that others pushed aside, he showed extraordinary kindness. And he gave time and attention to their needs. That's what Jesus did. Okay? That was the essence of him. He crossed barriers. He broke down a lot of social taboos that were not typical just to show chesed. For nothing else but to show the kindness of God. He broke those down. Okay? We know that he ate, he drank with people that others wouldn't, okay? And again, just for the sake of showing kindness. So, here's the thing. We're getting to where the rubber meets the road now, okay? Is everybody ready to? Okay? If being a disciple means that I should follow his example, right? Is that everything on that? Being a disciple is being disciplined to be like Jesus. To be like the one you're following. So, if being a disciple of Jesus means that I should follow his example, why do I so often fail to take time to be kind to others in my daily life? And I said, me, I, but you take that and say it yourself. Okay, I'm not going to say you. But I need you to say I. Are you with me? So, if I'm supposed to be an imitator of Jesus and a follower of Jesus and follow his example, why is it that I so often fail to take time to be kind to others in my daily life? Again, let's go back to this want to and willingness. Okay? The want to and the willingness. Okay? Even though we think we're nice, okay, I know for me, I'm saying for me, there are occasions when I can show kindness, but I don't. But that doesn't mean I'm unkind.
I think it's all of us.
Doesn't mean that I'm ugly. I don't mean that this way. I'm too old to care about that. Ooh, my hair got some bad blood went way out the door. But are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? And even though we think we're nice again, there are occasions when I could show it, kindness, but I don't. And it's not deliberate, okay? And no one probably even notices that I don't. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's not, I don't mean like, I'm talking about intentionally being kind, taking the time to be kind. And so even though no one would ever notice it, I can still feel guilty. When I think about it, I told you I got convicted several times in this, and if you don't, who do you? Let me follow you. Give me a couple days and I'm being serious. Okay? Because, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, I can still feel guilty about it. There's times when you think about it. For me, why is that? Why is that, that, and I'm talking about me, when I could show kindness but I don't. I can tell you for me, most often, I'm really busy. Okay? Most often, I'm really busy. And I just don't want to be interrupted when I'm busy. I'm being honest and transparent with you. You can be whatever, but I'm being honest with you. I'm trying to help us understand. I want to be more like Jesus, not just in one way, but in all ways. Okay? So I'm speaking for me. Okay? Life is busy. Period.
Yeah, it is.
okay? And it seems busier today than it is. Everything's just, and everybody's in an aggravating hurry. Okay? If drive-through doesn't get you through in 60 seconds or less, you're ticked off. Are you kidding me, you lazy bum? Go home and cook.
Ouch.
Like, seriously.
Ouch.
Like, honestly. Come on. But we all like that, right?
Well, preach.
Go home and cook if you want to ask. I'm going to tell you. Now, there's some times it's excessive, I get it. But you understand what I'm saying? In general, we're like that, right? I know me. The light turns green, go! Now. Of course, now, everybody's... That's why they don't see the light.
That's why they want their food 20 seconds.
But I'm saying, though, I'm like, I'm going to pull my horn. You got 3 seconds. Right? Not only anything, but the horns against the wall.
What?
I did not. So it's either in front of me, don't you blow the horn.
That's Derek. That's Derek.
That's what it's for. Uh-huh. But it's not. Derek. What's the horn for? To let somebody know you're out inside and they're ready for them to come out and get you. Okay, you know, that's what I'm saying. Okay? But, right? Seriously, it's like if you don't matter, but listen.
Okay.
When I get distracted and the light turns green and somebody blows the horn. I'm going.
I was on my phone.
Maybe I'm not the only one.
No, it's true.
But then when I got somewhere to be and they don't mash the gas and like, less than 3 seconds, I'm like, go, the light's green. And then I'm like, are you kidding me? It's just turned green. Do we not? Maybe I'm not.
It's true.
I'm just being honest. I'm confessing. Okay. Father, forgive me, because I know what I do. So, I've always got something to do. That's the God's honest truth. Whether it's church-related, family-related, or personal, or whatever, I feel it. Time is a thing for me, and it's almost a vice sometimes because everything's on a time, and because I'm such a analytical and trying to think another word, except for what I want to say, not that it's bad or anything, but I really don't want to say. I'm so retentive.
Uh-huh. Oh, there it is.
Is everybody on the same
page?
Yep. Or some of y'all just like that, right? You're like, oh, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And so when that gets off, I can feel like everything's, the cycle's off.
Yeah, I do.
And I can feel like that. Okay, so that's going to take into my time that I had set aside for this. And I'm talking about, you know what I mean? That's legitimately, so I do things, and I have a time frame, and to get them done, and I usually have a schedule, and I oftentimes have an agenda, and so the moment passes, and I can just stop and talk for just a few minutes to a person, but I don't, because I'm on a schedule. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
About being kind, and having an opportunity to be kind. Because I'm so into myself that I can't even notice if that person needs me to be kind. And to them, because if I'm not careful, my actions will be like, get out of my way.
Oh, yeah. Come on. I just love old people and children.
Hello.
Come on. I'm old to some of the kids in here, but to Haley, I'm old. But you know what I'm saying? I just love old people until they're like, am I telling the truth?
Yes.
But just like, oh, bless our heart. You know what you're doing? To where you're in such a hurry and you're so focused that if they drop something and needed help, you wouldn't even see the opportunity to be kind.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. And then you walk away feeling guilty. That's what I mean. I'm not talking about, you don't have to be hateful or be nasty to be unkind. Okay? It's that. And again, we're going back to the want to and the willingness. Okay? I really do want to. Okay? And that's what I'm talking about. you know, seeing that. So it's not that I do anybody any harm, but maybe there was a kindness that I could have done.
Right.
But I was so wrapped up in myself
that
I missed it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay? And I, in my confession, maybe you got that all figured out. Help me. Okay? And that's why I got to pray for the Holy Spirit to help me. Because I want to be humbled with that. I'm being honest with you about that. I don't want that, okay? And I'm often in that flight mode, okay? And I'm all, I don't know about you, but I'm old and I don't sleep good. Can I get some other people?
Amen.
You know what I mean? Like sleep is weird when you get certain age. Like I don't, if I really get 3-4 hours of sleep a night, it's a blessing. I'm not kidding. And I know some of y'all are with me. Like, I'm talking about sleeping without waking up. Without it being interrupted. So, you know, I feel like I'm always tired. Like, I never feel rested. So, you know what I mean? So, I'm always in that flight mode, and I'm often tired. And then that makes me overwhelmed. And then I feel pressured to meet my needs and other people's needs and to make this time for this and time for that person and that person's needs, and I want to and I should and I need to, and it's not so that, you know what I mean, that pressure and doing all that. I'm understanding how I feel, and it's a challenge to exercise kindness.
Right.
That's what God said. Exercise kindness. I want to exercise kindness. That means work out, right? Exercise is to do it again and again, habitually, to where it builds up strength and builds up something. That's what I want to do. So I want to finish this. If I can you give me a few more minutes? So let's look at kindness. And I just confess to you. You can talk about yours and confess if you want to. Maybe you relate to me. I don't know. Maybe you do. But kindness as a habit of life. Okay? So kindness is a part of the fruit of the Spirit because it does not come naturally. We already said that. It doesn't come naturally. Although some people do seem to be more naturally kind than other people. Right? And there's some people that just seem to be more, by nature, be a kinder person. Right? So that sort of kindness that Paul is talking about isn't natural, but it's spiritual. So we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit in the sense that it comes from being filled with God's Spirit. That's where it comes from. Okay? And so Paul's saying it's not this natural thing, but it's a spiritual thing. It's fruit. And it grows because of the life of the Spirit within us, and it must be cultivated. It must be exercised. You must feed it. You must nurture it, okay? It has to become a habit that builds into our character.
Right.
It don't come natural. And the Holy Spirit is not just going to say, okay, be kind, do this. You got to exercise it. That's what I'm talking about. You got to intentionally. You got to make it. You got to build it into your character. How do we know that something's become a habit? Okay? Only when it becomes more natural to say and do what is kind than not to. That's when you know it's become a habit. When it becomes more natural to do or say something kind than it is not to. So that when you don't, that stands out more than when you do. See, that's a problem. We become kind of like, oh, bless me. I'm so kind. Really? Seriously, do we not? And then we want it celebrated on social media.
Yeah. Oh, I see that.
You see what I'm saying? To where it should become such a natural part of us is that when we don't do it, that's when it stands out. And not when we actually do it, okay? So it's a habit when you don't have to stop and think and check the many negative reasons before offering to help somebody else. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I would, but this, or this would cause me to be pushed for time, or this would cause me to be blah, 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 right?
Right.
When you have to stop and go over that checklist, okay, it's not a habit. Yes, sir?
Yeah, would tough love, would that be selfishness or kindness?
Depends on what kind of tough you're getting. wrong in the love of God. I get what you're saying, though, but I'm being serious about that. There is a love has an accountability. That's what tough love is. Tough love is making someone be accountable for their actions. Mm-hmm. Because when we don't give them a reason to let God love them, then we're not helping them.
Right.
That's not being kind. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, yes, it does, as long as your tough love's not. You know what I'm saying? Like bloody noses and that kind of thing. All right? So, when it becomes a habit, when you don't have to stop and do check off all the negative reasons why you shouldn't do it. It becomes a habit when we feel miserable that for whatever reason we fail to be kind or even behave in ways that are unkind, like I just said. That's when we know it's become a habit. When we become miserable because we miss, that's when we come to God and we ask for forgiveness and grace. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. The want to and the willingness makes the difference.
Right.
That when you fail at it, it doesn't mean you're an unkind person. It doesn't mean you're a nasty person. It just means you're struggling. Okay?
Right.
And you missed it. And you need grace. Okay?
Amen.
But if kindness as a fruit of the Spirit is beginning to grow within us, then we're going to notice the failure far more painfully. It's going to hurt more. And we're going to want to do better the next time.
Right.
And if you are yielded to the Holy Spirit, He will give you the opportunity real quick after.
Yes, He does. Amen.
Sometimes the same day. Mm-hmm. Trust me. Last 7 days, I'm telling you. It's been there, okay? So we should ask God for opportunities to show kindness. When's the last time that you asked God to show you an opportunity to be kind? Mm-hmm. We should ask God that. That's part of walking in the Spirit. Is God, show me an opportunity to be kind. And don't wait till Sunday or after. Start tomorrow. Start tonight. Okay? I'm telling you, things set in with me, okay? So, Colossians chapter 3 gives us a couple of verses that can help us move in that direction. And this is where we're going to bring it to a close. Colossians 3 and 17. This is, if you don't get anything else that I said, I want you to get this conclusion. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatever you do, or in everything that you do, what's it say? Do it in the name of Jesus. Doing something that Jesus would do if He were present. That doesn't mean you do it in His name. Well, I give this to you in the name of Jesus. That's not what He's talking about. He's talking about that you do it as if Jesus was standing right there.
Gotcha.
Okay? You do what you do as if Jesus is present. Acting as though He would if He were present, but in and through you. Okay? Are you with me? That sounds simple, but man, that's not easy all the time. Okay? So if I were Jesus, what would I do for that person? If I were Jesus, what would I do for that person right there? What would Jesus do in that situation? You know, the WWJD. We blow that off. And that gets used too. That's a weapon too. But they half of them don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Right.
Just because they wear a rubber bracelet that says WWJD or it's on their bumper sticker or it's on their t-shirt, don't mean squat.
Right.
Okay? But it's what you do. You know, if I were Jesus, what would He do? What would He do for that person? Okay, then let's look at Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men.
Right.
So do as to the Lord or as working for the Lord. This means I should act as if the person was Jesus.
Right.
So that means I should act as if what I'm doing or who I'm doing it for is Jesus. When we're doing it to Him or unto Him, it's as if we're doing it for Him. He said, when you give them water, what did He say?
In my name.
You've given it to me. When you've clothed them, you've clothed me.
Amen.
Come on, are
yeah.
you with me? So I need you to get this because this is if nothing else, okay? So what I'm doing for that other person, I'm doing it for Jesus. Okay, not for him to get credit.
Right.
But as unto him.
Right.
Like I'm serving him. I'm doing it for him. I'm being kind for him. Are you with me? Mm. Now, Paul was writing here to Christian slaves who were working for Christian and non-Christian masters. So Paul was saying even slaves can serve Christ by working hard and honest for their masters. Okay? Because what they do, they're doing it as if they were doing it to Jesus. Okay? So when we're not kind to someone, it's like being not kind to Jesus. Mm. Essentially, in a nutshell. I was like, holy moly, help me, Jesus. So if that person were Jesus, what would I do for them?
Right.
What would I do for them if they were Jesus? I guarantee you we'd have to. That was Jesus himself. But he said that when you do, so how would I behave if Jesus were in front of me? Okay? That's essentially what it is. So here's what I want us to look at. Each day we should keep these two questions in mind. What would I do for people if I were Jesus? What would I do for people if I were Jesus? Number two, what would I do for people if they were Jesus? So number one, what would I do for people if I were Jesus? Number two, what would I do for people if they were Jesus? See what I'm saying? Every day. That's what I'm talking about daily. I miss that. I will tell you. And it doesn't mean that you're mean, hateful, nasty. It just means that you're not exercising kindness. And he said to exercise it. Okay? So how much of a difference would it make in how we treat other people if we took every day a little more of that?
Right.
How much of a difference would it be if we treated other people?
Yeah.
What lengths of kindness would we go to if we kept those two things in our daily life? I told you, I felt convicted just writing, typing these notes. Okay. I have nothing to hide. I'm just as frail and weak as you are.
It's so hard because we are so busy. So then you start thinking, oh, I got to try to be kinder.
But my thing is, think about, is everything that we're busy for necessary? And is what we're scurrying about essential?
Yes.
See, that's part of it too, right?
Right?
That's part of the big picture because then we have to keep our, get our priorities and redeem our time and put first things first, okay? Yes.
So I have a question. Okay, so if you're going to treat everyone like they're a Jesus, right? Like, there's some people that like in your family or whatever that you feel like you really should be distant from, but you wouldn't, how do you know at what point enough is enough? Because Jesus wouldn't, or if you know, Jesus wouldn't just be like, I'm done with you, but like, if I set my boundary and keep away, how do I know, like?
You don't have to be kind, be in a relationship to be kind to someone. We're just talking about.
If someone's calling me and I'm like, I don't want to talk.
You can set limits kindly. Okay, you can show kindness by setting limits. You don't have to be, look, you know what, you're getting on my nerves, and I can't do this anymore, and I'm not helping you, come on. Or you hang up and like, oh my God, I'm going to
have us next time.
Right? You can be kind, you can set limits, you can, that's love. That's, again, that's some of that tough love accountability. So it doesn't, does that make sense?
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, what if you, like, completely cut someone out of your life?
Then you don't have to be kind to them, because they're not there to be kind to. And don't worry about it.
But, like, you would just,
that's not unkind.
But we're not Jesus.
But listen, if they're not there for you to do unto, then don't worry about treating them like Jesus.
So it's okay if I'm just like, hey, you know, like.
His kindness will cut us off from relationships.
Right. Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're making it legalistic is what you're trying to do. Okay? You said that makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So we may not always live up to that standard. Amen?
Amen.
But it should be our goal. We should want to, and we should be willing to.
Right.
Please hear me. That's the key.
Yes.
And that's yielding. That's where we yield to the Holy Spirit. That's where we say in our prayer closet every day, Holy Ghost, please be fruitful in me.
Right.
Let your fruit be active in my life, okay? So the quality of that self-denying kindness isn't only what it means to be Christ-like, right? But it attracts others, and it also bears witness of the one who's in us. So the end result is that it draws people to you. Amen? But even greater, and I'm finishing, and most importantly, the end result of kindness is that it draws people to Christ. So whether they're drawn to us or not, whether we get anything in return, be it how, albeit a relationship or something, or any kind of connection, that we're connecting them to Christ, okay? Draws them to Christ, okay? Everybody good?
Yes.
Just one more, okay? Keep those two questions in the forefront. It's really challenging me, okay? And, you know, something happened yesterday, and it was not pretty at all. And, you know, Derek and I were together. And at one point, I looked at him, I said, do you think Jesus did this? Do you think Jesus ever had to do this? No. I was being serious while what we were doing. I'm like, you think Jesus ever had to do this?
And what did he say to you?
He was just like, I don't know.
He said, okay. No, he said, remember loving God, loving people.
Yes, loving God, loving people. God, the people wasn't there, right? But you know, again, even when it's nasty, you do it as to Jesus. For real.
For real.
Honestly. Okay. All right. The next piece of fruit in the basket is goodness. Ooh, help us, Jesus. Amen. I appreciate you guys. Honestly, I do. And I hope that you're gleaning from these studies and able to, bring ourselves greater, because the end result, again, is I want people to see Christ. I don't care if people ever know my name or anything. I have no desire to be well known at all, except to God and to the enemy.
Yep. Amen. That's right.
And I want God to know who I am to where he can count on me. Okay. So think about it. Think about asking God to give you opportunities to show kindness. Exercise it. Make it. Do it on purpose. Okay. Look for opportunities to be kind. Slow down. Okay. I always feel like I'm in a hurry, even like sleeping. Okay. It's just life is busy and crazy. And God knows that. Yes.
I was going down Broad Street the other day. And this person in front of me stopped at a green light. And I thought, what are you doing? And then I thought, I've done that. So you don't know what people are going through, the struggles they're going through, that their mind is totally, and it's not always necessarily on the phone. All struggles. So
yes.
That's another thing. I try to, like you said, just try to put yourself in that, why that person's doing that.
Yeah. I agree. It's having yourself available, and at the end of the day, the want to and the willingness. No matter how they are, who they are, what they're not, what they should be in there, shouldn't be in there, they're not, all of those things. Amen?
Amen.
I appreciate you. Same with me. Amen? Amen. Come be with us on Sunday. This Sunday's Mother's Day. We'll be honoring mothers. Amen.
Mother's Day.
And praise God. And so thankful for the goodness of God. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for Israel. Let's continue to pray for the things that are happening over there. A lot of things are going on. So let's just continue to pray for that. Amen. They're going to blast the shofar. I'm going to ask you to lift your hands, honor God, and give the Lord a shout of praise.